If you'd stand with us tonight and open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. Beginning with verse number 1, the Bible says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Now in verse number 30. In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. Father, I pray, God, just now, Lord, God, you'd look over me, God, that Lord, you'd take your word now, God, and you'd speak to hearts tonight, Lord. I realize, God, how little I am and how nothing I am, God. But Lord, you're the great God tonight. You're almighty. You're all-powerful, Lord. And I pray, God, you'd go, Lord, and you'd do a work someone's life tonight, God. And Lord, you'd get glory, Lord, in honor to your holy name, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'm interested in the last verse that I read. Verse number 30 says, in that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. Now I want to preach on this subject tonight, Belshazzar's last party. I want to say that Belshazzar's party day turned into judgment day for him. And I want you to know tonight that you better be getting ready for that day in your life. As I bring this message to you, I want to say to you that God is soon to come, or we are soon to leave this old world. You better be ready to meet God when you leave this world. I want to tell you, eternity is too long to be wrong. You better be ready. Prepare to meet thy God, is what Amos said. You better be prepared when you leave this world. Jesus has paid the price for our redemption, and He's offered us grace, full and free. And He stands today with outstretched arms. As Brother Ken said this morning, come, come, come. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. Don't do like Belshazzar done. Don't spend your life in a party, in a drunken stupor, and go out and meet God unprepared. You better be ready to meet God when He calls you out of this world. He's going to call us out one by one. One by one, we're going out to meet God, ready or not. Jesus cautions us in the Word, be ye therefore ready for such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. He'll come knocking at your door one of these days, call you out of this life, or He'll take us out of here in the rapture one of these days. But I want to warn you tonight out of the Word of God, you better be ready for that day. First of all, I want to look at Belshazzar's life tonight. And I think that this man right here was a man today, if we could see Belshazzar and all that he had, we'd look at a man and we might judge him and say, well, he is so successful. He is so blessed. Why, he's got everything. Oh, but he didn't have the most important thing in his life. He was not ready to meet a living God. That night when he began to party and to begin to live it up, he didn't know that when night fell that he'd never see the morning. Now I want to tell you tonight, we're not promised till tomorrow. We are not promised till tomorrow. Brother Dennis prayed in his prayer right there that this might be the last time that we meet. Oh, listen tonight. Hear the Word of God tonight. Listen tonight. Be ready to meet God when He calls you. I want you to notice here Belshazzar's pinnacle. Oh, he was full of pride. He was full of power. He had the pomp and he had the parties all going his way. And let me tell you, the day at which we live today, that's America right there. Oh, live it up, live it up. Hey, listen, we're living in the days of Noah where they were eating and they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage, they were partying, they were living it up. And Noah was just an old fogey over there preaching the Word of God, and they rejected him and they died and went to hell. Listen to me tonight. You better heed the warning. You better heed the warning. How many times have people come under the roof and heard the Word of God preached and they rejected the Word of God, went out and met the devil in hell? Listen, Belshazzar's pinnacle. Oh, he was king. He was king. I think it was his granddaddy Nebuchadnezzar that went in and conquered the Assyrians, and he conquered most of the Middle East over there in his day. Oh, what a great kingdom they had there. Now this young man right here, he inherited the kingdom. Oh, he was king. But listen, he didn't know the King of Kings. Oh, he thought he was on top. Oh, but listen, we're all down at the foot of the cross. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how big a job you got, how big a position you got in this world. It don't matter. You better be ready to meet God when you leave this world. Oh, there's a lot of things that's more important than your job. There's a lot of things more important than your 401k. Listen, those things can be good. Oh, it'll go so far with you. It'll buy you things. It'll buy you pleasures. It'll buy you joy. But let me tell you something. You're going to leave it all behind one of these days. You better have some treasures laid up on the other side. You better know the God of this Bible right here. You better have saving grace and the blood of Jesus applied to your life before you leave here. You'll die and you'll bust hell wide open. That's plain as I know how to put it. Belshazzar's pinnacle. Oh, he was king of the greatest kingdom on this old world here. The king, but he didn't know the King of Kings. The kingdom, listen, but he doesn't know the God that rules in the kingdoms of men. Listen, God, he says in this passage of Scripture right here that God rules in the kingdoms of men and he puts over them whomsoever he will. Listen, you got anything tonight, it's cause He give it to you. You got a good job, it's cause He give it to you. You got money in the bank, it's cause He give it to you. Ain't nothing you've done. I hate to burst your bubble, you ain't done nothing. God's done it all. God's blessed you. God's give you life. God's give you the next breath that you'll draw into your body. You better thank Him and you better praise Him. Oh, for He's been good to us. Oh, listen, Belshazzar's pinnacle. He had risen to king, and he had the kingdom. Oh, listen, he had the keys to the whole thing there. They had gold, they had silver, they had everything. Oh, he had a great palace to live in. Oh, he had a great palace to party in. He had the keys to it all. He could unlock the treasury. He could get him some money out. Oh, he had the keys to the wine cabinet. He could go get the finest wine out there. But listen, he didn't have the keys to death and hell. Jesus has got those keys, as he declares over in Revelation chapter number 1. He said, I am he that is alive and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell. You better make sure you know the man with the keys. Death finds you without Christ. Hell will claim you. You'll cry. You'll weep. You'll scream. You'll moan. You'll beg for all eternity, but you'll never get out of that place. Place of weeping, gnashing of teeth, where the fire's never quenched. And God won't hear your cries. God won't hear your prayers. Eternity. I can't even comprehend eternity in my mind. I can't comprehend it. It's too big. It's too far-reaching. Something that's eternal. Never, 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 never ending. eternity in hell. No, listen, there is a way of escape. Why would you die and go to hell when Jesus has offered you life, cost you nothing, free for the taking? Belshazzar's last party. Party day to judgment day. Belshazzar's pinnacle. Oh, look at Belshazzar's palace. He had a palace of luxury. He had it made. He had all the things in this palace to fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. Oh, the walls was decked with everything beautiful and glimmering. Oh, he had everything that he wanted. If he's wanting something, he'd just say, go get it. Luxury. This beautiful palace that he had. Boy, don't you know he was lifted up in pride when he invited all the guests to come on in. Come on in, boys. Look what I've got. Come on in. Look what I've done. Come on in. The party's about to begin down at the palace. Oh, listen. Oh, it was a place of luxury. But listen now, according to this scripture, I believe it was a place of lasciviousness. I'm talking about unbridled lust. Unbridled lust. That's where we're at today in America. Lust. This flesh is controlling America today. Well, we've pushed God out the back door. And listen, we've let lust come into our homes and come into our churches, come into our lives, and we rule by lust today. No self-control. Think you can get out away from church, dabble in sin, do your dirty things? Nobody will ever know it. God knows it. Maybe why you come to church and you can't feel God. Come into church house dirty? God ain't going to meet you with you. God's not going to bless you. Unbridled lust. Anything goes. That's America, ain't it? Anything goes. Everything's okay. Oh, listen. We're living in a sad day. We're living in perilous times. We're living in the end times. Jesus told us it would be this way in the last days. But He tells us to come out from among them and be ye separate. Paul told young Timothy to flee youthful lust. You better flee the lust that we're faced with. And there ain't nobody in this house that's not faced with temptation. It's all out there. The devil knows your weakness. You better get ready for him. He's coming your way. And he's going to offer you some things that your flesh will just love, that your flesh craves for. You better strengthen the spiritual man that's in you, that you might know how to battle the devil when he comes to you. Well, listen, it was a place of luxury. It was a place of lasciviousness. It was a place of lewdness, wickedness. Wickedness. Oh, this party that he had there that day. 1,000 of his lords, his wives, his concubines, his princes. There was wine. There was women. There was drunkenness. There was darkness. There was music. There was dancing. Boy, they was just living it up. But God was about to step in the party. Don't wait, as Belshazzar did, till it's too late. You better know that living it up and laughing it up, God's going to have the last laugh. He says over in Proverbs, they'd have none of my counsel. Wouldn't take the Lord's rebuke, wouldn't take the Lord's word. He said, I'll laugh at their calamity. I'll laugh at it. You think God is going to hang His Son on a cross and let the world mock Him and let His Son die there bearing the sins of the world? You think God is going to let this world get by? No, 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 no. God's going to have the last laugh. You can mock the Lord Jesus. You can reject the preaching of God's Word. You can go out and live it up and party it up. God, one of these days, will snatch you out of this world. You're going to cry and you're going to beg. God's going to laugh. I believe I've got Bible for that. Listen to me now. Let me show you something, young people, in Ecclesiastes. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Listen to this verse of Scripture now. I want you to hear it well. Chapter 11, verse 9. Young people, listen. He says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But, know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." Judgment. Judgment. We're going to face God one of these days, prepared or not prepared. Heaven or hell. Ready or not. Are you ready tonight? Are you ready to meet God? Should He call you tonight? Oh, Belshazzar's pinnacle, Belshazzar's palace. But listen, Belshazzar and his party. His party. You can find plenty of people tonight that'll party with you if you want a party. The world's full of wickedness and lewdness. Oh, there's parties everywhere. And most of this world today is living for the weekend. They're living for the parties. They can't wait to get to the bars and to all the lewd places of this world where they can live it up. Belshazzar, he was throwing a party. Had 1,000 of his lords to come in. Had his princes to come in. His wives and his concubines. Oh, they was partying it up. Drinking wine. The Bible says he drank wine. Oh, what a party they was having. They thought they was on top of the world down at the old king's house there, living it up. What a privilege they thought they had to be down there invited by the king to come to the party. Oh, he was the man of the hour that day. Belshazzar's companions. Oh, but look at Belshazzar's contempt. He called for the vessels that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the house of God. I'm talking about contempt now. Shaking his fist in the face of God. Choosing his dead gods over there and the living God there. He shook his fist in his face. He took the vessels over there. They poured wine into them. They toasted and they drank and they was having a party. Contempt. What kind of life are you living? God will suffer long, but He won't suffer always. There'll be a line in the sand drawn out there somewhere for you. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me now. Partying. I'm talking about partying. When I was 21 years of age, I was lost. I was married. Had a good friend here in Biden, Georgia. He went off to a New Year's Eve party. Good old boy, never seen him in a fight, never seen him do nobody no harm, never seen him get mad at nobody or threaten anybody. He went off to a New Year's Eve party, and I got a call on New Year's morning, picked up the phone, and they said, "Hey, did you hear about old Rat?" I said, "No, what?" "Somebody shot him last night and killed him." "Well, you could have shot me in the guts. I mean, I turned sick at my stomach." No, and he wasn't no troublemaker. He wasn't even a party person. But he went to the wrong place. There was a line drawn out there. There was a bounds there. And he went out to meet God that night. You see, he went off in the darkness of the night and he never saw the morning of the next day. Same way with this man right here. He met God in the night. His companions, his contempt, his candlestick. The Bible says in verse number 5 that in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and rolled over against the candlestick. I notice that God, when He speaks to somebody, He lights it up real clear. He didn't do this thing in the darkness. He put it over there in the light where they could see it. And I'm telling you right now, God has given me light in this message right here, and I'm lighting it up for somebody tonight. I don't know who God is speaking to, but you better heed the warning tonight. You better run to the light while God's giving you light. Darkness will find you. Darkness finds you. Darkness is going to keep you. You better listen tonight to the Word of God. His companions, his contempt, his candlestick, his countenance fell. And then his counselors. I want you to notice this. Pretty typical of a lost person. He got troubled. He was worried about what he saw on the wall. He didn't know what it said. He called for the astrologers, for the magicians, for the wise men, wise of the things of the world. They all come in. They couldn't tell him what it meant. They couldn't tell him nothing about what it said. You see, that was God's writing. That was God's writing. People that are spiritually discerned can't understand what God is saying. God has to open the mind and open the eyes of somebody that's lost to the Word. He called for the counselors. And then his mama come in there, whoever she was, the queen, said, "Oh, King, live forever. Ain't no need for you to feel bad. That there's a man in the kingdom here in whom is the Spirit of God." Said, "Call him in." It was old Daniel. Daniel come in. Now I like Daniel. He come face to face with the king. He read the writing on the wall, and he didn't water it down. He gave him the full counsel of God. And God help us preachers to always give the full counsel of God to a congregation and not water down the Word of God. Listen, you ought to thank God for a Daniel that come your way one day and told you the truth. Thank God for Daniels. Listen, there's preachers tonight that's a dime a dozen, calling themselves preachers, preaching fables, preaching ear-tickling messages. But listen, the truth is what we need. The truth is what our children need today. They need to hear the truth of the Word of God. They need to hear that there's a heaven and that there's a hell, and you're going to have to meet God one day. Oh, listen to me. Thank God for Daniels. Oh, listen to me, his counselors. But then here, listen to this, his court day. His court day had come. As Daniel looked upon the wall there, the kingdom is divided. Oh, listen, and he got down there and it said, "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." Found wanting. Listen, let me tell you something. When you go out to meet God, you better hope and pray that you've got Christ in the balances with you. You better hope and pray that He's took your sins and cast them into the depths of the sea. You better know Him before you leave this world. "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." What a dreadful thought. What a dreadful condition to be in. I remember first Sunday morning in March 1974, I walked into Sardis Baptist Church. There was a Daniel up preaching that morning by the name of Brother Monroe Wiggins. And I went into the church in the balances. I was found wanting. I was lacking. I wasn't ready to meet God. Thank God for that man of God that stood there and preached to me that day and told me the truth. He told me the truth that Jesus loved me, that Jesus died for me, and Jesus would save me. when I called upon Him, He did just that. Saved my wretched soul. As unworthy as I was, He come to me and He saved my soul. Listen, Belshazzar and his pinnacle. Belshazzar and his palace. Belshazzar and his party. Then lastly this. Belshazzar and his parting. He'd come to the end of the way. No doubt he thought, well, I'm king, I'm young, I'll rule this thing for years and years to come. I'll get richer and richer and more powerful and more powerful. I'm the greatest thing this world's ever seen. Party. Wonder how many parties old Belshazzar already had written in on his calendar. Oh, it was party night. He was a party animal. He loved the drinking. He loved the wine. He loved the women. He loved the world's music and the world's dancing. He knew how to throw a party. But it come judgment day down at his house. The writing on the wall was for him. It was for him. God sent it to him. God is sending the writing on the wall to you tonight. You know who you are. You know who God sent this message to. There's somebody lost and on their way to hell in this place. God is speaking to you. Oh, Belshazzar and his parting. He had a Daniel to preach to him. I'm talking about the grace of God. Daniel. Thank God for Daniels. Thank God for the truth. Daniel came to him there that day. I know it don't say in here that he was presented with a decision to make that day, but I believe that Belshazzar could have possibly changed things that day. While there's still life and breath in your body, I believe there's hope. I believe the Lord's that loving. But listen, Daniel came to him and he told him the truth that day. If you'll read on further in this chapter right here, when Daniel began to speak to him, he said, let me tell you something, Belshazzar. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, your father, he said, God blessed him. God gave him power and God gave him a kingdom. God really, really flooded him with blessings. And he got lifted up in pride. And he said God drove him out. And he went out like an animal and he eat grass like an animal. And the Bible says till he knew that God ruled, that he was nothing. And the amazing thing to me says there that old Nebuchadnezzar was lifted up with pride, hardened in pride. Verse number 22 just amazes me. Read it with me if you would. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart. Listen to this. Though thou knewest all this, though thou knewest all this, how many times has the gospel been preached to you? And you go out these doors and you go out and continue in sin, continue in your party life. God's going to stand before you one day. He's going to say, I sent you a Daniel. He's going to say, you knew the way that you should take, but you turned it away. Now it's too late. Listen, lastly this. Belshazzar's parting. He had a Daniel to preach to him. He had a decision that was pressing. I wonder if he had trusted God and repented. I wonder if he could have been saved. But no, he decided he'd take his chances. When he got the Word of God there, on down here, when Daniel got through preaching to him there and telling him what the handwriting on the wall said in verse number 29, it amazes me what he did next. He didn't fall down and cry out to the living God and ask for mercy. No, no. He commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold about his neck, made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. You know what he did? The handwriting on the wall, he said, "Ah." He said, "I promised Daniel I'd promote him if he'd tell me what it said. I'll just go ahead and give it to him. I'd pay no attention to that." He said, "I'll just go ahead and walk on out the doors, take my chances." But he never saw morning's light. Listen, while Belshazzar was drunk, while Belshazzar was partying, the Medes and the Persians was outside the walls there that night. They had walls, history says, were 300 feet tall. They had enough food inside them walls, they say, to keep them for 20 years if somebody besieged them. They thought, Belshazzar thought, "Ain't nobody can touch me. Nobody can touch me." But all of a sudden, there was a clanging of some swords, I believe. Soldiers rushed in. The Bible says that night, Belshazzar was slain. Can you imagine the startled look on his face when the enemy run in that night with swords drawn? Probably come in there and cut his head off, thrust him through with a sword. Too late. Too late. The party started in darkness. It ended in darkness. But it was an eternal darkness. Belshazzar, the party man, he went from party day to judgment day. Wonder where you stand tonight. You living life for its pleasures and parties, you better prepare to meet God. You better prepare to meet your God. You better be ready. God's no respecter of persons. There's young people that die. There's middle-aged people. There's old people. But we're all going to meet God, ready or not. Most important thing in a person's life is to be ready to meet God.